going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick, and we're going to do a last Know Your Foe episode on the drafts for the Ravens AFC rivals. And we haven't talked about the Chiefs yet. Want to go through their draft quickly. Joining me to do that is Alec Poulianos. Alec, how you doing?
Doing well, Ken. This is a really interesting draft. I'm curious your top level thoughts, but I feel like they had one of the better day threes.
Yeah, I thought across the board, I thought they got pretty good value. And that's always a problem when the Chiefs are basically getting guys that I think they're around behind in terms of value on, meaning they're getting them 32 picks too late. That's a pretty good day they're having, but they got a lot of players who were on my list, some honorable mentions, as you mentioned, later in day three as well. But let's start at the top with the position they've been trying to address now for, two first-round draft picks in a row. Actually, no, a second, a first, and a big acquisition during the offseason. That's the offensive tackle position where they picked up Josh Simmons from Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, he really got hurt by that patella injury. He had one of the best feet in the draft. I thought he might have been even a prospect the Ravens might have taken a flyer on just because of his versatility and right and left tackle and the way he kind of dropped. Because, again, otherwise I think he would have been a top pick. Good hands in pass pro, good at reading stunts, great on pulls and getting to the second level, low on penalties, which you love to see. It's really just the run blocking and anchor that could use the most work.
I see an enormous penalty number, so I'm wondering where we got a difference there, but one every 74.2 career was one of the big bugaboos I had with him.
Oh, interesting. I think he only had four of those last year.
That could be. He had just one in an abbreviated 306 snap season in 24 is what I have in my notes here, but it's been a huge problem for him throughout his career. And, he's certainly a guy that they bring him in. They've already got Juwan Taylor on that line,
truly
picks him up like nobody. And they added, Jalen Moore, right? Jalen Moore is the other guy they acquired. I, for some reason, I think I always have a Jalen. I might have their name wrong, 'cause there's so many Jalens in this draft of various spellings. But anyway, a few things about Josh Simmons. So you mentioned the injury. One of the problems I have with his trying to evaluate his 2024 season is that he played very well, including the penalties, but also including some blocking things. But he also played the front half of the schedule where Ohio State had all of their weak opponents, Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall. His season stood out so far from his previous play that you have to really give it contractual questions to go with that. And then, of course, you hear the player speak about his own injury. I'm way ahead of schedule. I can't test, unfortunately, this combine, but I can't do the combine. I can't run. I can't do this. But then he had a pro day. The pro day was on 3/26, complete unmitigated disaster. 546 in the 40, a 520 shuttle, a 21 inch vert. I mean, I think that the guy, the 464 pound guy, I believe had a 25 inch vert. So that gives you an idea of what we're talking about. 7'11" in the broad jump, 851 in the three cone. I would try to do better than that at almost 62 years old. So 18 bench reps. Oh, I'm not gonna be able to do that, but still, that's not a very good number for a left tackle. Now, I don't trust pro day testing, and they gave me every reason not to trust those terrible pro day numbers when they measured his arm length an inch and an eighth longer than he was measured at the combine. So 34 and an eighth on arm length versus 33 inches at the combine. There are methodological differences. They've clearly, you know, tried to round in the player's favor, and yet still he turns in a performance like this. That has me very concerned about where he is relative to that injury.
Right. You're definitely onto something there with his injury. I thought it was interesting that they traded back in order to acquire him, just one spot. But they gained a fifth round pick, 164, which they actually ended up trading to the Steelers to trade up and get a guy that we'll talk mm-hmm. about later. But I think they had their eyes set on him the whole way. The trade back, I don't think, impacted anything. And I'm curious to see how this plays out for them because it is a big swing.
He was one of the players I wanted to see drafted ahead of the Ravens at 27 because I didn't think he was a great value there for the Ravens. And I thought if somebody else is taking him, that means they're not really getting value. But the Chiefs, of course, picked after the Ravens and they may or may not have gotten value. It's certainly a quite a risky pick. A few things about it as a pass blocker, does have a very good control of the corner. He's a guy who gets outside very quickly with that left leg, getting to the outside. He's good out of a true pass set. He's good when he's, they're not giving away runner pass on early downs. He doesn't really stand up. He bends at the knees. So he's not really giving up a leverage win a lot to the opponent. And one thing I really love to see in an offensive line, this is something that when I see this in a tackle and he's able to do it effectively, I really like it, is he engages far from the cone. So Ronnie Stanley gives up a lot of cone imperilment pressures where he basically mirrors in exchange for space. And it works with Lamar Jackson. I'll just say that doesn't work for every quarterback out there. And if you let that cone get impeded, you oftentimes are going to give less mobile quarterbacks. And also just even quarterbacks who are just a little bit skittish, even though they have some mobility, you're going to give them trouble. But he's a guy who engages far from the cone. And I think he's a value guy from that perspective. He's one of the best pass blockers in the draft, if you believe what happened in 2024 is representative. And we have the context questions about that. I think the injury occurred during the season. So my understanding is that they can't NFI him for the year, the way the Ravens NFI'd Voorhees or NFI'd to start the season, but then brought on Ajabo. So they don't have that option. So, hopefully they lose a year of eligibility. They lose a year of development because he's not completely ready to go. If you're really rooting for the worst outcome for the Chiefs here. My reaction, if he was taking the first two rounds for another team, was going to be phew. You know, at least the Ravens didn't get him. And even at 59, he'd have still been a risk. It's not that I don't think it'd been kind of a worthwhile risk. I would have easily taken Green over him, given the choice between the two of them, even though he went way before that. But I really did not want the Ravens to be presented with that kind of an option.
That's understandable. And one thing that's kind of interesting is, DaCosta gave Simmons props in his interview with the Lounge, saying that was a good pick. And I'm curious if it'll be a kiss of death, similar to how he liked the Forbes pick and thought that would be sneaky. And then I don't know what happened there. We both liked him.
Yeah, I love Forbes, and so sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. It's just the way it goes sometimes. Let's move on to their second pick, which was the 63rd of the draft, and that was Omar Norman Lott, the defensive tackle from Tennessee. A little bit undersized. Looks like he'll probably play three tech, weighed in at 6'1", 291.
Yeah, he felt like a reach in a rather chalky second round. And this was across the board on Brugler's big board, Jason I can't remember where he lined up with yours. He played with explosion and has good leverage, but he was kind of a rotational player. You know, he missed a decent amount of time too because of injuries. High missed tackle rate. He's kind of a Tasmanian devil when he plays. Mm-hmm. Looks to jump the snap, can lead the false starts. And I said that he has he leads the team in pressures despite his rotational, which is good. He tends to redirect plays and chases them down with the line of scrimmage. But I just felt he was a very undisciplined player that would need a lot of coaching.
There's a whole lot of things that I didn't like about him, honestly. 19 bench reps. I mean, to me, he's probably not ready to play in the NFL right away, or he's not ready to take a big role right away. They'll have him in on some passing downs, at least as a second round pick. He did not have jumps, the shuttle, or three cone. So he did some other testing. He was okay at it. His only real subpar thing was the bench. His stops to miss tackle rate was 1.5 in his final season at Tennessee, 4.1 for his career, and a 15.1% missed tackle rate. He's used primarily as a pass rusher, where he has a pretty polished set of moves. When you hear that from me, that's not a good thing for a college player. When a college player is polished, it usually means concern over upside. That's how you should translate that. Now there are, you know, there's some other polished guys who will be perfectly fine at the pro level, but he's a player who I would be concerned about how much there is. The other thing is he's missed some games, and he missed some due to injury, missed some due to suspension, each of 23 and 24. He was suspended from the SEC for the first half of a game. I've never heard of that before, but apparently that happens. And some big SEC fans like Jake Vogel, you know, told me that is something that occurs, but it was for a fight at the end of the Florida game. And it happened over the Florida quarterback attempting to run off additional time on a kneel down play. So he's kind of dancing behind the line of scrimmage instead of going down right away. And he wanted everybody else to be okay with that.
Yeah, he definitely has an emotional streak. I saw that in his write up. He just seems to me like an odd pick at 6'3". Again, like they got so much value later on. Some players actually, I think they had three players ranked above Norman Lott and on Dane's big board that they got later. So just got kind of an interesting pick in the second round.
All right, let's move on. Talk about Ashton Gelati out of Louisville, the pass rusher they took with pick number 66. And that was, they're in round three now. So they're early round three. And I forget how they acquired this. If they had
this for the Snead trade.
Okay.
Yeah. Which was savvy, right? A third round pick from the Titans is basically a second round pick.
And a second. Yeah.
So very, good acquisition there. The use of the pick was interesting in my opinion. Gelati, he is undersized, right? From Louisville. He had actually some pundits had him mocking to the Ravens. I remember that quite commonly. He fires off the ball and is maybe more powerful than you would think given his size. And I thought he had like really polished hands in run and pass situations. He worked a lot to add to his frame. He actually came in at like 212 and was on the freaks list at that time.
Into college when his freshman year of Louisville, I assume you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing I kind of noticed is he dropped his eyes when trying to play through contact. That led to missed tackles in the run game. Not the best at reading a keys. So I felt like he could use some work cerebrally. And he plays with quick power, beats some guards. But I'm curious to see how he develops. He has a lot of upside. He's kind of one of those guys that, or maybe not a lot of upside. He's one of those guys that, despite some of the things that you would knock against him, had production. So that's where a lot of people just want to bet on him.
All right. So Omar Norman Lott, I don't think I said this, but he was 15th on my defensive interior list. I mean, very deep draft, but you know, to have a guy who's 15th in round two is probably going to be kind of a reach. I actually had a round four value grade on him for the Ravens. Part of that was mitigated by the fact that if they have Justin Matabike, they're probably not gonna be able to make full use of him. They got another player who was actually kind of similar in terms of Peebles around later, or sorry, in the fifth round, that I thought, you know, gives them some of that, you know, backup three tech kind of look. Ashton Gelati is actually 19th on my edge list. I think he's a 4-3 edge, and that's really why I had him as low. He's a guy I probably liked a little more than that. I just don't think he could be anything but a rush end for the Ravens at that weight. I think he has to pretty much be opposite the naked tackle as you do it. And then, of course, if you can't drop the coverage, even from there, it limits the flexibility of your pass rush. So the Ravens want to have their stand-up outside linebackers be guys who can drop the cover, and then you don't know who's coming. I mean, that's the ideal situation. If you're going to stick linebackers in the A-gap, or you're going to threaten to bring the slot corner, even bring somebody from safety who might creep up, the best thing you can have is guys who are versatile enough to drop the coverage and help you out. And you can't always depend on Michael Pierce being in the right place at the right time. Certainly not for the Ravens this year coming up. So Ashton Gelati, I had some other things to say about him. I don't know how deep I want to go into this, but because he's a Chiefs player now, he's a guy who could have been bumped inside. So you maybe a guy who you wouldn't mind having on if you want to have a rush nickel. I thought he tried to make use of his lack of length. He's under 32 inches in terms of arms, which is quite short for an edge, with hand fighting. He's very heavy handed in that way. He does have the frame to bend and corner better than he does. He's kind of a pear shaped guy, a low to the ground guy. Could definitely be a guy who bent better than he did. And he bull rushes pretty well. He's pretty well good at pushing through the half man move to make ground. But again, I thought he was an additional option for rush nickel snaps that didn't really provide the Ravens much as an early down Sam. He would be a rush only. And just for that, I had to drop him some for the Ravens.
Yeah. So I guess, do I go to the next guy?
Yeah, sure.
So this is where I think the steals begin, the quote unquote steals. Yeah. Noah Williams, quarterback out of California, 85th overall selection. He was 66 on Dane's big board, 73 on Jason's. 7 INTs is the thing that will jump off the board, 14 in his career. Tracks the ball well, obviously. But was one of the things that's kind of interesting about him is that he's not the fastest or smoothest guy. 4.5, 40 with a 1.61 split. However, he had the best 45-degree backpedal at 20.55 miles per hour of anyone in the combine. It's kind of an interesting set of traits there. Really sets a hard edge and run defense. Has kick returner chops. So he just kind of, just that markup, you know, gives me the idea that he plays hard every down, scrappy, just a team, overall team player. But, you know, when you look at a cornerback, not the best in press coverage, can be lost at the top of routes. And he might just be better off as a safety. So I'm kind of curious to see how they end up using him. They did spend draft capital last year on Hicks, who was a safety, but he was more of a strong safety guy. So I'm curious to see how they want to use Noel.
He's a guy I think could make it as a free safety, because it's an instincts position, and he's fine to be the tackler as the last line of defense, as you've kind of alluded to in some other ways. His missed tackle rate last year was 5.7%. His prior career rate was 16.8%. So it would be a little leery of exactly who he is as a tackler. But I believe he led the nation in interceptions with 7. Yeah. So Watts had 7 at safety, but I'm talking about among corners. He was the leader with 7.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not have a lot of penalties on a per snap basis. 178 coverage snaps per penalty, which is good. But his snaps per coverage target are also pretty good at 1 every 8.2. Yards per target are just fine at 5.4. Opposition passer rating of 40.1. A lot of that is the success he had intercepting the football. But it's a very good set of coverage metrics to go with, you know, a guy who's regarded as a savvy football player. And I think you're on the money to say there might be a conversion to safety. And I would say free safety if he moves there. You hit on some of the return experience he's got. It's fairly marginal. He's returned 11 punts career, but it's something. And he had an 80-yard kickoff return versus UC Davis in 2024 for a touchdown. So that's something. I looked at his actual interceptions for 24. It was a variety of things, but there was one common thread that I just loved and speaks to the safety role. So I'm not going to go through all of these, but they're all different. The common thread that goes through them is that whether he's playing over the top or underneath, and it was commonly underneath, he doesn't just try and bracket the receiver directly in the line. He tries to use up as large an area of cloud as he can that he thinks will help him get to the football. And it's just extremely good at mirroring the quarterback, particularly when the quarterback is rolling left. I'm seeing that, and he doesn't feel the need to be, you know, right on top of the guy behind him. He plays a loose underneath bracket. That is such a safety characteristic. You know, you really want that. You really want your safety on the back end to be a Marcus Peters cover three guy, or Williams when he's playing. Marcus Williams originally was playing well for the Ravens. Certainly Ed Reed had this characteristic in spades. You want a guy who plays a loose bracket, plays for the overthrow. This guy really played for where's the quarterback going to make a mistake with the football more than anybody I've ever seen. I love the pick. I loved him. He was number 10 on my cornerbacks list. I thought he was good value. In fact, I thought he was really on par value at number, was he picked at 85 overall? 85. Is that what I have for him? Yeah. So it's on par. I actually thought he might be a player that the Ravens could get in round 4. That didn't end up holding up, obviously. But, I think it's a pretty safe pick for the Chiefs in terms of a player who's going to provide value.
Yeah, he was kind of a no man's land as far as the Ravens were concerned. Obviously, we picked next at 91, mm-hmm. So he was off the board by then.
And we had our safety.
Right, truly. So I can see how, just based on how the draft fell, he wasn't probably on the board as high anymore. And also, he was picked ahead of where the Ravens picked.
All right, let's move on and talk about that number 133 pick, Jalen Royals, a guy out of Utah State, wide receiver, a guy I liked a lot.
Yeah, I believe it, and a lot of people liked him a lot. He was 63 on Dane's big board, so even higher up than Williams, and almost, 60 picks later, 50 picks later? 78 on Jason's. He has great bursts to separate and creates those passing windows that you look for. Missed tackles through the moon, was 17 in 2024. Physical. He's also a return option. A lot of really good reports about his character. The knock against him are twofold. Doesn't run a full route tree, which you hear a lot about in college. Sometimes it means that they can't do it. Sometimes it means they weren't asked to do it. And he also had a drop problem. Looks upfield maybe too quickly, inconsistent in traffic. He also had an injury with his deltoid in his right foot. So I'm not sure if that's the reason he slipped in the draft or not. But this guy was really well-regarded And one of those picks that it's a little scary going to the Chiefs.
Yeah, a good player, certainly. And the thing that's very scary about him to me is he's a guy who is going to make up ground as he crosses the field with a trailing corner on him, or trailing, you know, God forbid, a trailing inside linebacker on him. He's gonna definitely make ground on those crossers and be an effective target who opens himself up for Mahomes. He also is built kind of like a running back at 6'0", 205. He's got average testing across the board, other than that 4.42 40. There was a foot injury that ended his final season at Utah State. I could not find any details on it. I never saw the word Liz Frank applied to it, but who knows? But his receiving metrics were outstanding. He's at 10.4 yards per target last year. This is a target every 3.5 routes. 3.0 yards per route run was close to the top of his class. And yak per reception was at 7.9, which is also extremely high. Even college has a lot of outliers in that category, particularly among the draftable receivers, that they have some guys who just have ridiculous yards after catch numbers, but that's outstanding. And the quarterback rating throwing to him was 100.8. A lot of times that's not, you know, it's not striking. Certainly that's not great, but the Utah State quarterbacks were at 89.4 aggregate. So he beat the spread by some, and they're asking him to do a lot in terms of, you know, feeding him the football, sometimes under not advantageous circumstances. So I kind of like that. He had 81 targets, for example, in just 7 games. It's almost 12 targets a game for the, you know, for when he played. Physical at the catch point, liked him a lot. The after the catch, his yak number is really fueled by a high missed tackle forced rate per reception of 0.264. So lots to like there. He was my number 10 wide receiver overall. And I had I always want to get value for any player drafted, but I had him as a value, or could have been drafted in round 2, 3, or 4, probably would have been value in round 3 or 4 with the Ravens. And, you know, the Chiefs getting him at 133 just looks like a lot of value to me.
Yeah, 18th wide receiver off the board. A lot of guys I'm shocked to see ahead of him, like at least 5 names, 6 names that I didn't anticipate going as early as they did. We'll see how this one plays out. I'm very surprised by it, particularly when you have other teams that you feel like needed that skill set even more so than the Chiefs, frankly, right? The Chiefs, you look at their wide receiver rotation, he's like maybe the 4th wide receiver at this point.
Yeah.
He's not necessary at this point. Other teams are very much looking for wide receiver help. They drafted, you know, ahead. So just really interesting to see him passed up like that. Clearly a nice wide type wide receiver. So.
All right. So the Ravens drafted an inside linebacker in round 4, Teddy Buchanan out of Cal. And the Chiefs came back and in round 5, pick 156, got a guy I really thought was pretty darn good in Jeffrey Bassa of Oregon. 6'1", 232. So he's got the size you want. What'd you think about that pick?
Man, you know, that's that the Buchanan pick kind of sent me I was not happy when that happened. And particularly because of Bassa, you know, Bassa was right there on the board. If you're trying to go inside linebacker, that's who I would have gone for, just given my limited knowledge on the class. And yeah, I think the Chiefs really liked him. They moved up 8 spots, trade away a 7th to get him. They conducted that trade with the Steelers. Jason's positional favorite at 86 on his big board. Dane's 99th guy. So again, very large value. What you see with him is good sideline to sideline shuttles, rangy. Speed's not like anything to write home about at 4.63, but certainly playable. His safety background shows up in coverage. He's able to crowd passing lanes. And one thing that was a big boost for him is that he was a Senior Bowl Nationals leader, green dot guy, great communication, brings energy, special teams chops. If you're looking for, you know, the negatives, he can drop eyes when he engages in blocks. And I felt like he just didn't have some of the best instincts. Could lose depth in his drops, get caught flat-footed, and be a little tight. But an inside linebacker, you know, those are the kind of things I can live with a bit. I think it would have been a great pick. And hate to see him go to the Chiefs.
There's tremendous prejudice against the slower guys in the draft. Jay Higgins dropped all the way to the Ravens as a UDFA. And Bassa, a 463 guy, also an older guy for this group. He'll be 23 in September. A lot of the inside linebackers, they tend to be younger this year, whereas a lot of the heavier position groups, the heavier size and shape pools, they tend to be older guys. The smaller groups and the larger groups, you really got to distinguish yourself by also being young, whether you're a corner, a running back, whatever that might be. And Bassa is a little bit of an older guy, but in terms of a block shedding, I think that's something that will be a struggle for him at the NFL level, given his length. That's the other thing that I think the scouts will point to. He's a little under 31 and a half inches in terms of length, and that can get him into trouble, certainly. I think he'd have been a three-down will for the Ravens. I think he'd have been a guy that could have had no problem, taking up the special teams role. And if the Ravens had drafted him, and they would have done it in the same spot they picked Buchanan. That's exactly where I would have expected them to take him. Is that they would have really been signaling very clearly, and they may have done that with Buchanan anyway, that they're not really happy where they are with Trenton Simpson right now. That they're going to try it like another time, but they don't really think it's going to work out, or they wouldn't draft another player. Now, in truth, they need another inside linebacker. It's just a matter of, do they want to, work the undrafted pool the way they have done so successfully in the past? Do they want to reach down to the sixth round and get a guy? They want to give the job to a guy like Higgins, who, despite a lack of speed, is going to work like hell on special teams and be the best player he can be, probably the best teammate he can be. To Buchanan over Bassa was one of the questions, certainly, that I had in this draft.
Yep, I think we both did. And we'll see how it plays out. Buchanan doesn't win much in the age range. It's very trivial. So we'll see how it plays out. I know that, people think, I mean, rightfully so, right? Even though the 40 times very similar, they gave him more twitchy, characteristics in some of the other explosive metrics. So we'll see how they play out. But like you said, interesting use of resources when they get Higgins as a UDFA. He's going to have to be a practice squad guy, as I see it, just because of the depth chart and the way it works out. So, we'll see how that plays out in camp. That's one of those battles you'll be looking at.
We jumped out of their last pick, which is in round 7, and they drafted Rashard Smith out of SMU, a kind of a smallish running back at 5'9", 194. Do I have a different number on him? No, I have 5'10", 194, 439, 40. So that's a lot of speed to get in round 7. I thought, if you're just looking at all the guys who ran sub 4.4, there aren't that many of them, period. All position groups put together. And I have a guy who's certainly has some things he did in college, from a positive standpoint, is still only 20. Well, he turned 22 in April. So he's still a young player. I thought that was a pretty good value for them. Done some punt and kickoff return things. I thought he'd be a late round pick, 5+, probably 6 for the Ravens. It would have been, and the Chiefs get him in round 7. So that was another one where I thought, they gave themselves a good chance to win on that pick.
They did. He has a wide receiver history. He was actually a 4-star recruit as a wide receiver. Played kick returner, like you mentioned. Top 5 in explosive plays with 19, 20 or more yard plays. Great acceleration, light-footed. The wide receiver shops show up in the scramble drill. And the funny thing is that his comp was Isaiah Pacheco, which is a Chief last time I checked. Yep. So they have a type. And Pacheco, he was a 7th round pick as well. So it's just like kind of funny how they just do it again. This is actually a guy that a lot of, fantasy football people are like, hey, keep an eye on him, late round pick kind of thing in your dynasty drafts, because he has the pass catching upside that you look for, even though he may not have ideal size. And maybe he's not going to be the best pass blocker yet, but we'll see how he plays out at the 7th round, right? You get a kick returner, you get some of these other traits to work with. You could do worse for sure.
Yeah, you absolutely could do worse. I mean, the only big thing is really his size, and that's what'll scare some teams away. But I had him as my number 12 running back overall. I mean, he's high on my list of honorable mentions, And I just the Chief, every player the Chiefs drafted, every single one of them was somebody I looked at and had at least in my top 20 for their positional group. And most of them were significantly higher than that. And surprising, it's actually two of their earlier picks, Omar Norman-Lott and Ashton Gelati, who I had lower in the position groups. Most of the other guys, they were actually, you know, incredible leftovers late in the draft that are still available.
I know. It. If I was watching the draft super closely at the end there, and I saw, I imagine it would have been one of those things where, you know, looking at your board, looking at Jason's board, it'd be those guys on the island just wondering when they're going to get picked. And then, boom, the Chiefs come up and they're like, we'll take that guy. We'll take that guy. And just really painful to watch, particularly when you
talk about contender. They might have taken Mike Green, too, if the Ravens hadn't closed that island down.
Oh, I mean, for sure. They would. I have no doubt that that would have been a high probability as well. So I guess good on the Ravens for sniping that one.
All right. All right, great talking football with you. Always nice to get together and go over the Chiefs draft in a way that is entertaining, hopefully. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Sure. My website is Poulianis.com. You can find me on all the websites, A Poulianis usually, or just Poulianis. So, yeah, happy talking football with you, Ken. Looking forward to the what's the next series?
Expectations.
Yeah, I was like the two-player series, whatever. I forget what it's called.
Who are your two players on that series?
Kyle Van Noy and Vinson. So
that's a very good combination. Lots of interesting things to talk about
lucky.
With them.
I'm very, very thankful to the distributor of those, whoever that might be. So, no, it's a good combo. I'm looking forward to talking about them with you.
All right, that'll be starting up. If you're probably listening to this on Monday or Tuesday, because this is coming out on Monday, and look for that the rest of the week. That's the series for a while. There'll be Friday Morning GM. There'll be Ravens News as it comes along. But basically, the expectation series takes us most of the rest of the way up to camp, and have a little vacation planned in there as well. So we'll be hopefully have some material for while I'm away. But always that expectation series, I always love doing that. It's a chance to talk basically about all the positional groups in a cross-sectional manner with a bunch of different analysts. And it's amazing. Whenever I ask people, they always want to do the show. I really, really appreciate the response to it, including you in that group, Alec, of course.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right. Other folks out there, if you want to do a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. Alec, thanks again for coming on.
No problem.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.